Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the pastors that serves First United Methodist Church here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and I warmly welcome you to worship on this sunny day in July. It's great to be with you. I hope that you'll take a moment to share this worship video. You're worshiping with us on social media, and perhaps there's a friend or a neighbor, a coworker, a family member that is also wanting to find a home to get connected in faith, and so we would love to be that place. And you can help us do that by sharing this worship video on your social media pages, on Facebook and on YouTube. Help us spread the word about a great worshiping community, faith community that we are here at First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. After you share the worship video, then I'd encourage you to visit our website to kind of see what's all going on in the life of the church. Take a moment to fill out our connection card. You can indicate any updated contact information you want us to know. Let us know how you'd like to get better and connected and involved in our church community, and we'll be in touch to help you get connected. Make sure and check out our children's and student ministries pages to know what's happening this summer. We have some fun events happening, so check that out. Well, it's so good to be with you in worship today. So very good. We're starting a new sermon series called Olympic Gold. We'll be looking at some Bible passages, and we'll be thinking about some Olympic athletes with some great stories to tell and some lessons for us to learn from as we look forward to the Olympics coming up at the end of this month. So we welcome you to worship. So glad you're here. Now let's start our time of worship together with a song of praise.
1, 2, 1, 2. By the chaos. will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear, every doubt will disappear. We will stand unaffected by the chaos. We will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear, every doubt will disappear. No more worry, no more fear, every doubt will disappear. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the valley, we declare your kingdom come. We will cling to what you promise till the day you call us home. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the cling to what you promise till the day you call us home. Let our faith become the mountain we stand on.
Amen. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy Lord of all, we thank and praise you for lifting us up when we fail. You lift us out of weakness and into strength, and out of frailty and into endurance. Help us to focus on you so that we can press on to the goal you have set before us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Company, yeah.
Our Bible readings this morning come from, the first one comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. He gives us power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The New Testament passage is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and the one who calls us to wait on the strength of the Lord. Amen. So I don't know about you, but probably when you hear this passage that we read this morning in our scripture text, maybe one of the first things that come to mind is a scene from Chariots of Fire, a movie about two runners who train in different ways, overcoming all kinds of odds. And perhaps you remember Eric Liddell reading this particular passage in the Church of Scotland before a completely packed house. Maybe you relate to the contemporary Christian song about this particular passage, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and be lifted up on wings like eagles. This passage was written as a message of hope and comfort to the Israelites who had been in this period of exile for such a long time. And finally, in this particular passage earlier in Isaiah 40, we get this message that finally there was going to be a way prepared in the desert for the Israelites to come back to the promised land, the place that they hadn't been able to be in for quite some time when they were in this period of exile. And so we get this passage in Isaiah that sort of begins this hope-filled proclamation of coming back and coming home. Later on in Isaiah, this passage that we read towards the end of Isaiah 40 says that those who wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed, and they will be lifted up on wings like on eagles' wings. Incredible passage. One that many of us hold on to when we're experiencing doubt or fear or anxiety about things going on in the world around us. We are able to cry out to God and say, hey, come help us, please. We are exhausted, we're tired, we're fainting everywhere. Renew our strength and lift us up. Make our burden lighter so that we can continue going forward. We're in the midst of this sermon series where we're exploring Olympic athletes because we're coming up upon the Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan, at the end of this month. And in this particular week, we're going to be studying one of the amazing stories of an athlete that had to flee her country, Yusri Mardini, before competing in the 2016 Olympic Games, was a refugee. Having grown up in Syria, she grew up with her family in the midst of the Syrian civil war, and tells incredibly powerful and vivid stories about what it was like growing up and going to school, where on any given day bombs could be going off all around the classroom and yet the students were in school. Eventually, she and her sister kind of decided that there was no future, no legitimate future, no hope-filled future ahead of them in Syria, and so they decided to try to escape all of the persecution and violence that was going on in their home country at the time. There were several incredible stories of her crossing borders throughout Europe illegally at the time, as she was trying to flee to a better life, to find a better home. But probably the most known story about Yusri's life was how at one point she and about 21 other people jumped into a tiny dinghy that was intended to only work for about 7 or 8 people. Unfortunately, as they were trying to flee to the country of Greece on this dinghy, the engine stopped in the middle of the Aegean Sea. all of a sudden they found themselves in this desperate situation where they were afraid that if they couldn't get the engine going, they were never going to make it to the Greek shoreline. So sure enough, Yusri, who knew how to swim because her father had given her swimming lessons growing up, and her sister and a few others jumped out of the boat and were swimming for hours and hours alongside the boat, not only praying and hoping that eventually the motor would kick in, but also propelling the boat forward. Sure enough, after hours of trying, eventually the engine kicked in, and finally they had the power and propulsion to be able to move forward and go across to the Greek shoreline. Eventually, she had escaped and currently lives in Germany and is an ambassador for the United Nations about what her experience was like fleeing country and persecution from Syria as a refugee. Yusri was one of 5.6 million people who fled Syria during the crisis that they experienced. And she's one of 80 million people in our world today who are refugees, who have fled their home country because of some humanitarian crisis or violence or situation that makes it impossible for them to continue to live in their homeland. 80 million people. The United States has always been a friendly place for people to come when they're fleeing either religious or political persecution. We've always, mostly always, had a strong refugee resettlement program here. Many refugees have resettled even in the state of Michigan. The Yusri story is kind of unique because she went on to become an incredibly gifted swimmer and competed in the 2016 Olympic Games and is once again on the refugee Olympic team in 2021 in Tokyo, Japan. Those athletes, instead of competing under the flag of their home country, compete under the Olympic flag. An amazing expression of what it means to be unified as the whole world, regardless of your nation of origin, and despite the fact that you can't compete for your nation of origin, it's neat to me that there's a team that folks like Yusri and others can compete on so that she can be a part of the Olympic Games because of her unique talents of being able to swim. I think about this passage in Isaiah reminding us that we can walk and not grow tired, and that we can grow weak but not faint because God's strength is underneath us, is walking alongside us. And I'm wondering if there's anybody listening to the message today who feels like they're in that position of despair or exhaustion, and feels like your feet are sore, your back is sore, and you don't feel like you can go any further. We've all been there. We've all had periods of exhaustion and fatigue, but this passage is a reminder that regardless of how fatigued or exhausted you might feel, with God at your back, there is nothing that you can't accomplish with a little bit of resilience and fortitude and a willingness to continue following wherever God leads you. Yusri's story is so inspiring for me. Most of us, if we found ourselves in that terrible circumstances, would simply give up or could become content with simply having escaped the incredibly difficult situation of our homeland. But she continued to train, continued to push herself, continued to do the work every morning in the pool to make herself better and more competitive in the world in the Olympic Games. Reminds me of another story of a woman who got to the age of 48, and she was facing all kinds of ailments here in the United States, routinely going to see doctors. Her name was Margaret Stevenson. She initially was born in China, actually, and moved back to the United States and settled in the Tennessee area near the Smoky Mountains. And at 48 years old, she decided that rather than staying in her bed, she was going to get up and start walking. So she went to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And Margaret decided that she was going to walk every single trail within the park and routinely go on the main trail up a mountain. And in fact, she completed that walk over 718 times from the point in her life at 48 years old to the end of her life. She lived to be 96. It's said that Margaret Stevenson, with all of her walking, did enough walking to circumnavigate the globe 3 times. And she's the first woman to have completed all 800 miles of hiking trails in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Into her 90s, she continued to guide other walkers along the path. There were some folks who would travel great distances to walk with Margaret because she was a legend of that particular national park. Even as she advanced in her age, she continued to walk these trails with a walker. She had a remarkable memory and kept a journal of every time she walked these paths. What's incredible to me is some of the folks who walked with Margaret shared that at times they would initially sprint out on this long hike that they were doing with her, and then they would pause to take a break. And sure enough, that slow and steady action of following her walker would lead Margaret to the destination faster than some of these advanced hiking specialists. Margaret took this passage seriously. That you can draw upon the strength of God, that you can have your strength renewed, that you can be lifted up on the wings of eagles, that you can have some sort of incredible spiritual power deep within you to be able to accomplish things that you never thought were possible. Yusri Mardini is another great example of that. But I wonder what God might be asking you to do that you think might be hard or challenging or impossible. I mean, at the end of the day, when we go out for a walk, most of us, we get tired and we sit down. When we set our minds to accomplish some challenge that we believe might be impossible or difficult, we oftentimes give up before ever crossing the finish line. But my challenge to you is this. Spend some time this week as we prepare to watch the Olympics at the end of this month to set some kind of goal for yourself. Something that you can barely imagine accomplishing without God's ability to come alongside you and support you. Set what some would call a big, hairy, audacious goal. Do something extraordinary. At the end of the day, our faith reminds us that we can accomplish all things through God who gives us strength in Jesus Christ. So spend some time this week thinking about what it is that you'd like to do in the next year. Maybe it's a 5-year goal. Maybe your goal is to go out and feed hungry people. Maybe your goal is to start a new ministry here at the church. Maybe your goal is to find some new hobby that you never thought you could do before. Maybe your goal is to step out in faith and take a risk. Maybe your goal is to try something new. Maybe your goal is to fail and learn from your mistakes. But in the next month, I guarantee you this, if you follow the storylines of the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan, there will be undoubtedly hundreds of storylines of athletes who have overcome incredible odds against them, whether it's injury or personal disaster. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that Olympic fanfare, a musical piece that John Williams wrote, there's something that touches me deep within my heart. A reminder of our shared humanity. A reminder that we're all humans regardless of what flag we march under the opening ceremonies. A reminder that we're all children of God and that God loves all of us. A reminder that we can accomplish anything that we set our mind to. And for a moment, as we watch these Olympics together, I undoubtedly believe that all of us will have a chance to reflect on how interconnected we all are. That one person getting sick far all the way on the other side of the world could have led to this entire global pandemic. Undoubtedly, we'll all be celebrating as those opening ceremonies begin, that it's possible for people of different nations to once again gather together for the purpose of challenging one another in sports. But we're together. And I think that's what Isaiah 40 is all about when you reflect on that scripture passage. It's an invitation in early part of Isaiah 40 for us all to come back to the promised land. Behold, I am making all things new. Let us challenge ourselves to accomplish something unimaginable. Let us challenge ourselves to be stretched, to fail, to fall down so that we can get back up. May we be reminded that wherever we go, we are being carried on the wings of eagles because God comes with us wherever we go. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. This is the time in our service when we as a congregation pray together. So let's enter into that time of prayer. Gracious God, no greater thing has ever happened to us but to know you. We can trust that in all things you are present. We get a chance each day, and especially on these Sundays, to know you, love you, and serve you, and that is a blessing of which we are truly thankful. In our darkest times, you provide a light that cannot be extinguished, the hope of miracles just by having faith in you and your teachings. When we have no words to ask for what we need, tell you of our fears, or express our praise, you bring them to us as if they were our own. We take this time to confess that there are times that we fight your teachings, that we are uncertain as to what to do and why to do it. Mistakes are made or feelings are hurt. We turn away from you and your guidance. We let things attract our attention that are frivolous, self-centered, or destructive. But a confession of these allows for us to be forgiven and restored to your path. There is no time that we are lost forever. The summer has brought the heat and humidity, but relief does come in cool breezes. Our surroundings may look dry and worn out at times, but then you bring the renewing rain. The storms are followed by calm, and in all of this, we can be thankful to you. The hope that you have given us and the renewal that comes with the sunshine and with the coolness of the rain, this daily example of your gifts and rewards. But in all of our joys and thankfulness, there are sorrows. There are things that we ask of you, Lord, knowing that we just need to do that, ask. It may be for us a challenge in our own life that weighs heavily on our hearts and minds. Stresses of the week that seem overwhelming that we ask for help from you. Help those that are in leadership positions and making very important decisions. Help those that are picking up the pieces after a disaster. And help those needing a connection to someone larger than themselves. We ask that you provide for them in these times. Use us at your will for these purposes, to increase our fellowship and tie us together in one voice and one mission. And help those that are in need because they are hurting mentally or physically, including ourselves. We thank you for the gift you have given to those scientific minds that research and create the wonderful world of medicine and treatment. Rain down on us with your glory. Evoke in us the renewal that comes with our trust that you are there and hear us now and at any time. Bring to our minds those words that we need to settle our souls in the conversation that we now have with you in a time of silence. And now let us join our voices together with those words that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, we come to a time in the service when we have an opportunity to come to God's table. It's not a United Methodist table. It's not the table of First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It's God's table. And for us as United Methodists, that means everybody is welcome. All that you have to have is a love of God in your heart, a desire to come and know Jesus Christ personally. And so God welcomes everyone to this incredible feast and to this heavenly banquet. And so we remember 2,000 years ago when Jesus took a loaf of bread like this one and he gave thanks to it. And he said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, he took a cup and he lifted up and he said, "This is my blood which has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so we gather nearly 2,000 years later after Jesus did this, and we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements of bread and cup into something extraordinary and make us be ever more the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Transform our hearts and our minds and our actions so that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood." We remember on that night that Jesus was gathered with the disciples, with his friends, those who he had been in ministry with for almost 3 years, and they were talking back and forth at the table, reflecting on Jesus' ministries, arguing about who the greatest disciple was, asking questions of Jesus about the faith. And in many ways, those disciples were no different than you and I, ordinary people that were called to do extraordinary things. And so we come to this table not because we are perfect, but because we are in need of grace. Not because we have all the answers, but because we're willing to ask the right questions. Not because we have it all together. In fact, it probably means that we need God's divine deliverance. We all do. And so I invite you in this moment to find some elements within your home. They might be crackers or bread or some kind of grain and juice. And to take the elements of communion, to take a piece of bread and dip it in a cup and share it with those around you who may be watching in worship at this time as well. And take for yourself a moment of sacred remembrance, acknowledging and giving thanks for all the ways that God has been present in your life, acknowledging the ways in which we have failed to follow God's expectation of us, and celebrating God's faithfulness and God's deliverance in our lives. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these elements of bread and cup, for these reminders of the offering of your Son, Jesus Christ, for his example, his teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection. We receive hope. And we pray as we gather here in tables scattered across the world that we would be reminded that we too are the body of Christ in the world today, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Amen.
God is so good. Amen, right? God is up to great things here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Music ministry is thriving. There are wonderful things happening for our children's and student ministries. Missions is popping. There are so many great, wonderful things happening here. Worship is taking place in person as well as online. You have fantastic volunteers and wonderful staff members. And God is up to good things. Changing lives. Sharing love. People are hearing the gospel. Their lives are changed and transformed. God is up to great things through Brighton and Whitmore Lake, First United Methodist Church. I invite you to be a part of the great things that God is doing here in our church community by sharing of your financial blessings. by going online, sharing your tithes and offerings in that way, by mailing your offerings into the church or stopping by during the weekday. However you choose to give, we thank you for that. And however you choose to give, know that it is a blessing to God and it is a blessing to this church community, this greater Brighton and Whitmore Lake community and around the world. We always don't always know the great impact that we make and how many lives we're going to touch. But I can tell you, it's in the thousands as the ripples of impact are made and as lives are transformed. Thank you for your generosity this morning. Thank you for being a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us this week for worship. We hope that it was a blessing for you. As we conclude this worship service this morning, we just want to share with you a couple of announcements. Vacation Bible School is coming up in a couple of weeks. If you haven't had a chance to sign up as a volunteer or to register your child to come to Vacation Bible School, we encourage you to do that as spaces are filling up fast. In addition to that, we also wanted to let you know that that our youth will be leaving on their mission trip next Sunday, the 18th of July, and we will be blessing them in worship that morning and praying for their trip and safe travels. They'll be headed down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit to help with the tiny homes in the city of Detroit for residents, many of whom have never had a chance to have home ownership before. This is a beautiful program in the city of Detroit our youth will be helping with. So please say a prayer for them as they prepare for that experience later on at the beginning of next week. And in addition to that, we wanted to share with you that we're just incredibly grateful for being able to see many of you in person here at the service. For those of you who continue to watch online, we're so grateful that this worship experience is now transportable, that you can take it up north with you, that you can take it to Florida with you, that you can take it all around the world, that you can worship with us online. We just wanted to take a moment and ask if you'd be willing to share in the stream right now where you're watching this worship service from. We would love to follow up with you and connect with you if this is your becoming your spiritual home. We would love to extend an opportunity for you to come meet with Pastor Lindsay or myself so that we can learn a little bit more about you and you can ask any questions you have about us. We encourage you to visit our website, get in touch with Pastor Lindsay or myself, and we would be honored to welcome you into our digital space and help you feel at home and welcome at our church, of First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Thanks so much for joining us this week. As we depart from this place, I pray we go with blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week. Thank you.